యయనీల ప్రేమధన్నా కరుణా ప్రాచో
Sane kuti bona
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from Canto 4, Chapter 29, Text Number 5. Buddhim tu pramadam vidyan.
Buddhim
tu pramadam vidyan. Mamaham iti yakritam.
Mamaham iti yakritam.
Yamadishaya dehesmin. Yamadishtaya dehesmin.
Yamadishtaya dehesmin.
Kumam bhunkte shabir guna.
Kumam bhunkte shabir guna.
Kumam bhunkte shabir guna.
Kumam bhunkte shabir guna.
Buddhim tu pramadan vidyan.
Buddhim tu pramadan vidyan.
Yakritam Yadadishtaya Dehesmin
Yadadishtaya Dehesmin
Kumam Bhunkte Shabir Gunan
Kumam Bhunkte Shabir Gunan
Buddhim Tu Pramadam Vidyan
Buddhim Tu Pramadam Vidyan
Mamaham Iti Yakritam
Mamaham Iti Yakritam
Yamadishtaya dehesmin.
Yamadishtaya dehesmin.
Kuman bhunkte shabir guna.
Kuman bhunkte shabir guna.
One should know.
Mama, my.
Aham, I.
Iti, thus.
Yat kritam.
Done by intelligence.
Yam, which intelligence?
Adishtaya.
Taking shelter of.
Dehe.
In the body.
Asmin.
This.
Puman.
The living entity.
Bhunkte.
Suffers and enjoys.
Akshabi.
By the senses.
Gunan.
The modes of material nature.
Translation. The great sage Narada continued, the word pramada mentioned in this regard refers to material intelligence or ignorance. It is to be understood as such. When one takes shelter of this kind of intelligence, he identifies himself with the material body. influenced by the material consciousness of I and mind, he begins to enjoy and suffer through the senses. Thus, the living entity is entrapped. Please repeat. The great sage Narada continued. The word pramada, mentioned in this regard, refers to material intelligence or ignorance. It is to be understood as such.
When one takes shelter of this kind of intelligence,
he identifies himself with the material body. Influenced by the material consciousness
of
I
and mind,
he begins to enjoy and suffer
through the senses.
Thus the living entity is entrapped. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In material existence, so-called intelligence is actually ignorance. When ignorance is cleared up, it is called buddhi yoga. In other words, when intelligence is dovetailed with the desires of Krishna, it is called buddhi yoga or bhakti yoga. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam mupayantite. To those who are constantly devotee and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Real intelligence means linking with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When this is done, the Supreme Personality of Godhead from within gives one the real intelligence by which one can return home back to Godhead. Intelligence in the material world is described in this verse as pramada, because in material existence, the living entity falsely claims things to be his. He thinks, I am the monarch of all I survey. This is ignorance. Actually, nothing belongs to him. Even the body and senses do not belong to him, for they are given to him by the grace of the Lord to satisfy his different propensities through the material energy. Nothing actually belongs to the living entity, but he becomes mad after everything, claiming, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine. Janasya mohoyam aham mamiti. This is called illusion. Nothing belongs to the living entity, but he claims that everything belongs to him. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that this false intelligence be purified. Chaito darpanam marjanam. When the mirror of intelligence is polished, the real activities of the living entity begin. This means that when a person comes to the platform of Krishna consciousness, his real intelligence acts. At that time, he knows that everything belongs to Krishna and nothing belongs to him. As long as one thinks that everything belongs to him, he is in material consciousness. And when he knows perfectly that everything belongs to Krishna, he is in Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnanjana Salakaya Chakshur Unnivitanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're hearing from Narada Muni, describing to us this meaning behind this allegorical story of Puranjan. So, he's mentioning about the use of this word Pramada. This intelligence in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the same word is used. Nasadu manye yat atmano yam samasukleshata. Nunam pramata kuru tevi karma. Yadindriya pritaya aprinoti. Nasadu manye yat atmano yam asamapi kleshata asadeha. Nunam pramata. Again, this pramata is here. Here, in this case, Narada Prabhupada is explaining the word means material intelligence. In the other verse which I'm quoting, which is famous verse, often used by Prabhupada, from Srimad Bhagavatam, pramata means, Prabhupada said, madness. When people are mad. Mad for what? Why are they mad? Because nunam pramata kurute vikarma. Yet indriya pritai aprinoti. Because of their uncontrolled senses, they do sinful activities. So this is their madness. Nasadu manye yata atmanoyam asanapi kleshada ashadeha. Prabhupada paraphrasing the meaning, saying, that is not good, my friend. On account of all these sinful activities, you will experience so much trouble, klesha, trouble, birth after birth. You have to take another birth, and you get so much difficulties. So this is what happens when we have material intelligence. Material intelligence, Prabhupada says, is actually ignorance. Yeah. Oh, very intelligent. Intelligent person. We think somebody's very intelligent, they make a lot of money, they cheat people with business and make a lot of money. We think they're very intelligent. This is ignorance. So, this is... what happens when we have this illusion that we're the center of the material existence. We're thinking aham and mamiti, the ignorance of the living entity. We're thinking, I am this body and then this is mine. This is the cause of the entanglement of the living entity in the material world. Why are we engaged in all of these material activities? Just simply to enjoy sense gratification. So Prabhupada explains, when we come to Krishna consciousness, then our real intelligence begins. Right? Just like today, we're remembering Tamal Krishna Goswami. Before he came to Krishna consciousness, he was also enjoying material life. As a young man, he was born in New York City in a Jewish family, and he was raised in the 1960s. He was a teenager. He was born like 1946, I think, the year of his birth. And he grew up, so he was a teenager in the 60s, grew up in New York City in the 1960s. At that time, USA was involved in war with Vietnam. It was the time of the capitalists and the communists, and the world was on the verge of nuclear war. And the USA was calling all the young men to the military. Of course, he didn't go to the military. But the young people were influenced by that particular time of the society. It was a time for anarchy and revolution. We don't want to accept this government. We don't want to go to war. I don't want to be a soldier. I don't want to go and fight in a war and be bombed to pieces. So young people revolted against the society. So Kamal Krishna Maharaj, like many other people at that time, became caught up in that, you know, and we became somewhat anarchistic, grew our hair long, didn't want to work, you know, like this. We didn't want to study, quit school, you know, we're not going to waste our time, mundane knowledge. What is the use of that? We're going to die any day, so what is the point of working hard at college to get some degree if you're going to die soon? So like that, many people didn't bother going to college, just let's enjoy life. And that understanding of enjoyment was eat, sleep, mate, and defend. You know, enjoy like the animals. But then, by the will of Providence, along comes a pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada appeared in their lives. Somehow Krishna Goswami, previously to joining the Krishna Consciousness Movement, had left New York and gone to live in San Francisco. San Francisco was the Mecca for all these young people. It was known as flower power. Just like Lord Ramachandra had a flower airplane, so the young people were all into flowers and power, and they were speaking about love and peace. But it was really more lust and sleep, you know, rather than love and peace. You know, the talk was love and peace, but the thinking was more lust and sleep. So he'd gone to San Francisco, and he was living with a group of young people when His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, walked into his life. And Srila Prabhupada, by his strong, powerful preaching, cut the knot of material existence. This is the business of a sadhu. They have to cut. They cannot just simply flatter people and let them go on in comfort in their ignorance. So Prabhupada saw how these young people were living freely, without any kind of regulation, uncontrolled senses. And Prabhupada said to them clearly, what are you doing with your life? Why are you wasting your life like this? So his words had some effect. Just like, I think last night Hari Vilas Prabhu was telling the story about Bilva Mangal, how Bilva Mangal met Chintamani. And Chintamani, you know, you're so eager for me, if only you were so eager for Krishna. Just that one line changed the life of Bilva Mangal. In the same way, there were many people, not only Kamal Krishnamurti, but there were many other young people. Prabhupada, just one line, just one word from him, changed their life. And they gave up their hedonistic life of materialistic sense gratification to become a surrendered devotee in Krishna consciousness. So, while still a teenager, Tamal Krishna Goswami had come to Krishna consciousness, and he quickly became involved in distributing Srila Prabhupada's literature. That's what the devotees were doing, to support the temple, to support the devotees, to run the temple. They have to have some income. Nobody's going to give donations, so devotees were going out distributing some literature. They had printed some of Prabhupada's Back to Godhead. In the beginning it was only a mimeograph thing, just some stencil which they ran off themselves and stapled. But gradually they got better quality literature and they would go out and distribute them. So Tamal Krishna Goswami was a young brahmachari and he was going out with the devotees, and he quickly became one of the leaders, became the leader, and then he took the job of organizing the Sankirtan. Because the devotees in those days didn't sit around the temple. Everybody would go out the whole day on Sankirtan, Harinam, Sankirtan. In Los Angeles, they would go to a place called La Cienega Boulevard and Hollywood, these different places. And they would go and they would distribute literature. There'd be a chanting party and they'd have wonderful kirtans, and the devotees would become so enlivened by all of this kirtan. Nice kirtan. They would take the tambura with them, sometimes take harmonium with them, and they would put carpet on the street, and they would sit down in the street. Streets were a bit nicer than in Calcutta. We have to admit, you know, if you have to go to Bara Bazaar, Mahatma Gandhi Road, and sit there and do kirtan, it's not quite the same. But anyway, you know, the devotees, this is what they did. And they would go out all day, they'd go out in the night as well. They would be out in the evening too. And they'd be out there distributing literature. And Kamal Krishna Goswami, because he became the Sankirtan leader, he got the devotees all organized. You know, they all used to have all different colors of cloth and different dresses. And he got everybody dressed the same. He got everybody the same. Everybody shaved their head. There was nobody with hair. You know, all the men had a shaved head and a sika. And then the women all had sari, the same color. Because we didn't get saris from India in those days. We just buy a big bolt of cloth. And it would be one color, you know, yellow, pink. And we'd give the women a strip of it for their sari, and they would wear it. They all had this sari, the same color, just one color, you know, yellow or pink. And the men were all dressed. We also, you know, our dhotis were not from India. We just bought this big piece of cloth and cut it into pieces, and everybody got a piece. And like this. And then sometimes it would be cold, so everybody had a sweater the same. You know, we all had sweaters the same color to go with the cloth. And in this way, you know, it was organized, you know. And when Prabhupada came, Prabhupada had been away from Los Angeles. When he came and he saw what was going on, then he was so pleased. He appreciated so much that, oh, this is very nice. And he asked, who is organizing all this? And then they mentioned, oh, Kamal Krishna, he is taking the charge. He's in charge of Sankirtan. He is doing all this. So then Prabhupada invited him one day to come and take lunch with him. Usually Prabhupada would take his meal alone, you know, unless some very special Indian guest would come. But usually Prabhupada would eat his food alone. Because Prabhupada, being much elderly than us, he would often take simple food, you know, he liked. And he also had his regulation and maybe a little different diet, simple diet, you know. Prabhupada's rice, dal, chapati, thin chapati, very thin, and then not much oil, and some chili had to be there. And like that, Prabhupada would usually take on his own. But one particular time, he said, I want Kamal Krishna to come and have lunch with me. And so Prabhupada had, it was very special, you know, Prabhupada inviting you, you could imagine, huh? Prabhupada's inviting you to come and eat lunch with him. So he went there to eat lunch with him, with Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada explained why he had invited him. You know, Prabhupada was very clever how he did everything, you know, he didn't just want to thank him or anything, he had a special reason why he was inviting him to come and eat lunch. And Prabhupada was asking him, he said, I am going to go to Japan and I am going to place an order to print books. You know, so you go to Japan, the printing company, they're not going to do a small run. It's got to be a big run, right? So he said, I want to know how many Back to Godhead will you be able to distribute in a month? Prabhupada wanted to get, you know, wanted to know from him, you know, that this is why he brought him to have lunch. You know, Prabhupada was telling him, I'm going to be printing a lot of books, and I don't want the books to just sit in the temple for 10 years. I want the books to be distributed. So how many can you distribute 1 month? So Kamal Krishna was put in the spot there. Prabhupada was telling him what he wanted. So he got Kamal Krishna to make a pledge about how many books they would distribute every month. And you know, they have to do that to keep up the order, because back to Godhead they're going to be printing regularly. So he wanted that every month they would distribute that many books. So in this way, Kamal Krishna got involved as the Sankirtan leader. Then Prabhupada was going to come back to India. Prabhupada hadn't really put much effort onto India. He'd sent a few devotees. Jayapataka Maharaj had come. At that time he was a brahmachari. And he came with another devotee called Achyutananda. And Achyutananda also became sannyasi. The two, Jayapataka, Achyutananda, they were living here in Calcutta. And maybe there was one other person over in Delhi, but that, like three devotees of ISKCON in India. Then Prabhupada decided he was going to bring a whole party to India. And he picked many of the temple presidents from the different temples. He said, I'm going to India, I want you to come and join the party. And that time he brought from London, there was in London, even before that, Prabhupada had sent Kamal Krishna to go to Europe to organize the preaching there. He sent him to Germany, and then he went to France, and then he came to England. And you can read all about this in Kamal Krishna Goswami's book. He's wrote a book about his service in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, which is called Servant of the Servant. And he describes how he went to Germany and he got involved there distributing books, the same program, Harinam Sankirtan, book distribution. Went to Paris, in Paris also, the same program, go out every day in places like Champs-Élysées, you know, in front of the Eiffel Tower and these places, and distribute books and do Harinam Sankirtan, give the holy name to people. Then came to London. He was helping organize the London temple. Prabhupada came there. He installed Radha Landanishwara. Kamal Krishna was there at that time when they installed the deity. Well, he helped Prabhupada to get the deities. That in itself is a whole story. That Prabhupada went there and got the deities. So he said, and then he turned to Kamal Krishna and said, is the deity heavy? And he picked up, no Prabhupada, no problem. You know? Then put her in the car, you know. I mean, put him in the car. And so he carried the deity out of that person's home and brought the deity to the temple, because there's no deity for opening the temple. They were opening the London temple, but there's no deity. And this one man had deities, and Radharani had broke her finger. So Prabhupada said, we'll go and see. And then Prabhupada said, so we will take. And then he said, is it heavy? No, no problem. Okay, put it in the car. Let's go. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. And this way they got Radha Vandaneshwara captured. Prabhupada said, Krishna arranged this just so that we could get in safety. Sometimes Krishna does these things. So Kamal Krishna Maharaj, this was his early life while a young man. Then he went. Then Prabhupada said he wanted devotees to go to India. So he had gold. He took all the leading devotees from London. He took Shamsundar, Guru Das, Makunda, Kamal Krishna, and all the wives as well. Kamal Krishna had become a grihastha by that time, and their wives, so the four of them along with their wives all went to India. And then all the leading devotees from USA as well, the ones who were leading up all the preaching, temple managers, he brought them to India. So Prabhupada wanted to begin his preaching in India. So in this way Kamal Krishna came here to India, and he was working with Prabhupada in India, and Prabhupada made him the GBC for India. made him the GBC. That time, we had, well, we got this place here in 1971. He took sannyas, I think, 72. So he was the GBC for India. Not much going on in India at that time. There was, you know, Prabhupada sent him to Mayapur to buy the land. To get the land, Prabhupada sent him along with one other devotee, also a very senior devotee at that time. His name was Bali Mardan. So Kamal Krishna and Bali Mardan, the two of them were sent to Mayapur to buy land from some Mohammedan people. And Prabhupada showed him, he gave him the money, cash. He showed him how to put the money, how to wear it in his kofan, you know, so that he wouldn't get robbed, because very dangerous. At that time also Naxalite was very active. There was a lot of bombing and stuff. It was very dangerous. So Prabhupada showed him how to keep the money safe, that he wouldn't get any problem. And he went there with Bali Mardan. Prabhupada trusted. Try to understand how much Prabhupada trusted to Mal Krishna Goswami. He gave him so all these responsibilities. You know, when he wanted things done, you know, very important when you're beginning a movement, you have to have people to help you to do things. You can't do everything alone. Just like Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, Prabhupada in his time got a lot of help from other people like Bon Maharaj and Pranavananda, who became B.B. Puri Maharaj, and then there was B.R. Sridhar Maharaj. These people were all helping. And there was other people like Sundarananda, Vidya Vinod, and then this Ananta Vasudev. These people, these were all leading people, all working very, they were very good, very enthusiastic, working very, helping Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. In the same way, Srila Prabhupada had also his team. He had people who he could count on, who he could depend on. And especially, he counted on Kamal Krishna. He said, he is very intelligent. We're hearing today about intelligence, right? When the intelligence is fixed on Krishna, when we are in Krishna consciousness, then that is real intelligence. When we use our intelligence to think how to serve Krishna, we put Krishna in the center of everything. That is real intelligence. So Tamal Krishna had that focus. He was very focused to do everything very nicely for the pleasure of Prabhupada and Krishna. But he'd become a householder. So Prabhupada wanted, he needed some sannyasis, he needed people to preach. So somehow Kamal Krishna influenced Prabhupada, whether Kamal Krishna influenced Prabhupada or Kamal Krishna understood Prabhupada's desire for him. It was Prabhupada's desire for him that he should be a sannyasi and not a grihastha. Because a sannyasi is more free to preach. We see also how Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. Although he had a very wonderful wife who is his consort, Vishnu Priya, none different from Satyabhama or Rukmini, his eternal consort, but still Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas for the higher purpose to deliver Krishna consciousness to the world. In the same way, although Kamal Krishna had entered the householder life, he left the householder life to become a sannyasi and to become Kamal Krishna Goswami and to take up even more service for Prabhupada and to push on the Krishna consciousness movement. Initially, when he became a sannyasi, it meant he should no longer be a GBC, because Prabhupada had said that sannyasi should just travel and preach, and the managing should be done by householders. So he gave up being the DBC, but nobody else could do the job properly. So Prabhupada brought him back and said, you have to be the DBC. And made an exception in his case. And he put him in charge being the DBC for India. Actually, Prabhupada was the DBC more than him. Because it was such a difficult job that Prabhupada had to do it. Such a big country, and so many devotees, and so many different problems that only Prabhupada could really handle it. But he was very well assisted by Kamal Krishna Maharaj. So after being in India for 3 or 4 years, Kamal Krishna's health was not very good, and he became inspired to go back to the West. Because he was hearing about how many books were being distributed in the West and how our movement was blossoming in the West. How many more people were joining our movement. So he asked Prabhupada, as a sannyasi, he thought it would be better if he could go back to the West for some time. So Prabhupada said, all right, for some time you can go. So then he went there and what he did was, at first he was thinking that he would be involved in the managing a temple or something. But then he saw, you know, the temple was not so suitable for sannyasis. So he met his old friend, someone who had been in the Los Angeles temple when he had joined, someone who he had actually joined Krishna consciousness with, was already a sannyasi. And his name was Vishnujana Swami. So Vishnujana and him had been friends before they became devotees. They joined together and now they were both sannyasis. So Vishnujana had a bus and he had his deities in the bus. He had the bus made into a home and they were traveling in a bus all over India, just like our brahmacharis do. Mayapur devotees, they have these buses. So Vishnujana had a bus like that and he was traveling in America. So Tamal Krishna said, I will come with you. And he joined with him. And the two of them went and they were traveling. Now Vishnujana Swami, he was very famous, very good kirtan. He could sing so nice and play the harmonium, madanga so good, and the kirtan was so sweet. He used to go out on Harinam in Los Angeles on the streets. And when he stopped going, when he got up, took sannyas and went traveling, then all the people would call the temple and say, what happened to that devotee, the one who used to come and sing? They said, why is he not coming to sing anymore? They were all calling the temple. They were all asking, what happened to him? You know, he was singing so nice. You know, all the devotees would love to go on Harinam with Vishnujana Swami. So he had his bus and he was traveling and he was going to the colleges and they would go to the universities. You know, universities in America are a bit different from how they are in India. In USA, you know, universities are, you know, real big places. They're like a town in itself, some of them. You know, it's a whole town just built around the university. And you know, you go in the university and just buildings everywhere. It's all the university, the dormitories and everything, the campus. It's a whole place, just a town, you know, and they have their own police and everything. So you would go in there and they would do kirtan and the students would come and then, you know, preach to them. So when Tamal Krishna Maharaj came, you know, Tamal Krishna was very focused on preaching. You know, Vishnujana would do the chanting and then Tamal Krishna Maharaj would come and preach to them. And he would get them to join, you know. He would get them to quit school and just come and join the bus. And then this way they started growing and more people were traveling with them. And then they got more buses and they had like a big fleet of buses. And then they had vehicles as well, vans. And they had a whole big troop, so many young men. You know, they just accumulated. Just people wanted to join. Everybody wanted to go with them and be with them. So when Prabhupada came to America, and Prabhupada was thinking, you know, I have to bring Kamal Krishna back to India. We need to develop India. We need somebody to, you know, I need good managers there in India. Because all you young Indian men were not joining our movement at that time. You know, there was not much Indian men joining our Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada was becoming discouraged. It said the intelligent young Indian men don't want to join our movement. So he wanted Tamal Krishna Maharaj to come to back to India. But then Tamal Krishna Maharaj showed him what he'd been doing in America. And he brought all the brahmacharis to get initiation, one after another. You know, so many brahmacharis, new brahmacharis, all shaped up. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj would introduce each one to Prabhupada, and he'd say what service he does. This devotee, he's a cook. This devotee, he takes care of the buses. This devotee, he's a book distributor. Prabhupada would introduce each devotee and tell each devotee's service to Prabhupada. And when Prabhupada saw all the devotees, when the Prabhupada said, okay, you can just stay here in America. He said, this is more important. He said, India will go on without you. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj stayed there and developed the Radha Damodar Sankirtan. But it grew so big, that all the temples were having problems. Because the temples found it hard to keep the devotees. Because the young brahmacharis were all thinking, oh, I don't want to stay here in the temple, I want to go with the sannyasis and travel, you know. So there was some problem for a little while. The temple presidents were complaining, you know, that, you know, these sannyasis are not helping us, you know, they're taking all the men away and they're going to do book distribution, and our temple's no money because all the good collectors have gone to Radha Damodar, you know, they're all collecting for Radha Damodar and there's no good men in the temple anymore. And there was some little complaint there to Prabhupada. So, it was at that time that Prabhupada said to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, you know, first of all, Prabhupada said, I'm taking everything away from you. I'm taking all the men and all the bhaktis away from you. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, then what am I going to do? He said, well, you can just chant Hare Krishna. You can go and sit in Mayapur, chant Hare Krishna. He said, Prabhupada, I might as well go to China. So Prabhupada said, yes, well, that's a good idea. You can go to China. And then he said, no, Prabhupada, I'm only joking. Prabhupada said, Krishna made you say this. He said, you should go to China. So he really didn't want to go to China, but Prabhupada told him, you know, he said, Krishna has made you say this. He said, you have to go. So in this way, he got him, you know, he was supposed to go to China. So he went to have a look at China. At that time, he couldn't do anything in China. China hadn't really opened up. It was very closed at that time. But anyway, Prabhupada said, in the future, it will open up and you can go there. Anyway, came 1976, and he saw Prabhupada's health was not very good. And he came to be Prabhupada's personal secretary for the last 1 year. He understood Prabhupada wasn't going to remain in this world forever, and he wanted to render personal service to Prabhupada and to help Prabhupada make Prabhupada's life a bit easier by just being personally there to assist and to serve him. So for the last 1 year of Prabhupada's life, Tamal Krishna Maharaj did this service, and Prabhupada appreciated very much that he was there to do it, to take, to help him, to do things. Prabhupada would often, when he would meet different devotees and he would hear things, then he would say, where is Tamal Krishna Maharaj? Bring Tamal Krishna Maharaj here. He would always want to know, he would always want Tamal Krishna Maharaj there with him, and he would talk about things with him. You know, Prabhupada wouldn't sit and talk with just any devotees, but he would sit and talk with Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He had that intimate connection with Prabhupada. So he served Prabhupada right up until the end. And when Prabhupada left this world, then Tamal Krishna Maharaj then continued his service to Prabhupada in separation. Prabhupada had given the instruction that he should go to China. And so, not immediately, but gradually, he came to focus on that. And he came to Hong Kong, and he started to organize things in Hong Kong. At that time, there was a small center in Hong Kong, a few devotees. No, one Chinese devotee. One Chinese had joined. Prabhupada had initiated him. One devotee, he had done the Chinese translation. The Bhagavad Gita had been printed in Chinese. And Prabhupada was very happy about that. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj came there. And he brought some of his disciples also from USA. He brought some people from there to help him there in Hong Kong. He understood Chinese people are quite very materialistic. Wouldn't be easy for them to take up something like Krishna consciousness. So he began to have yoga. He brought one of his disciples from America who was very, very good in yoga. And he had him set up a yoga institute and teach yoga and at the same time give them Krishna consciousness. Teach them chanting Hare Krishna and give them some lecture on the philosophy and introduce them to Bhagavad Gita. Then this way began the China mission. I had my contact with him. What happened was he began writing. He wrote his book about his life with Prabhupada. And when I read it, I wrote to him. I said, "This is very nice. I said, I really appreciate your book, how you're inspiring us to serve Prabhupada." And then he wrote back to me, and because I'm British, so it's difficult. At that time it was difficult for Americans to go to Hong Kong, but Hong Kong was a British colony. But so he asked me, he said, "You're British." He said, "Why don't you come? You can help me here in Hong Kong." He said, "You like this China preaching?" He said, you're attracted. He said, "You come and help me here in Hong Kong because you're British. You'll get a good visa here, better than these Americans." So Krishna arranged I could go there and get involved in helping there in the China mission. So Tamal Krishna Goswami was preaching there in Hong Kong. At a certain point, however, he became attracted. He wanted to understand higher aspects of Krishna consciousness. And he was inclined to study. He got involved. Hridayananda Maharaj encouraged him to do some preaching, to go to the universities and get involved in preaching to the professors. Like Hridayananda Maharaj. Hridayananda Maharaj took a PhD in Sanskrit at Harvard University. So he was going to teach a course in the university. He thought it would be good for Tamal Krishna Maharaj to do that too, because he's very philosophical and he likes to write and like that. So Tamal Krishna Goswami went to university. He had no degree. He had to take a degree first of all. Had to go for 4 years or 3 years to take a degree there in Texas. Going every day in his dhoti with a shaved head and sitting with all the young kids and like young students sitting in the classroom with them all and studying. And finally he got his degree with top marks, full marks. Put his name inside the Hall of Honors, you know, got very top marks. And then he wanted to go on and do his PhD. So at that time he moved to Cambridge. And he was in Cambridge for a few years there working on his PhD. So he had to put up with all of this. I asked him, I said, "You have a lot of fog in London. You know, people always talk about the fog in London, very foggy." I said, "It must be very foggy there in Cambridge." He said, "Not as foggy as it is in the university with all the professors." You know, he was talking about the intellectual fog. Not the atmospheric fog, but the intellectual fog. He said, "Trying to preach to these professors is really, you know, they're really foggy. Very hard to get through to them." Anyway, he did these things, you know. When he was there in Cambridge, He would have devotees come, and he had one of his disciples was a good cook, and he'd invite all the different professors, and they would cook feasts and give them very nice prasadam. And when he'd go and meet his professors, he'd bring them prasadam. And this way, you know, and they really liked it too, you know, they really enjoyed the prasadam. He would never forget to bring them prasadam. And they say he was always trying to do some preaching, even though direct preaching would be so difficult. But he would try to do it. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was always very social in his life. I saw whenever he would come to Hong Kong, you know, whenever he would take prasadam, you know, he would invite us to come and eat with him. So many of us, we would all come and we'd sit with him and take prasad. I was telling Prabhupada would take prasadam on his own. And certainly Tamal Krishna Maharaj being very senior, he could also have taken in his room. But he always liked to have us all sit with him and take prasadam. And we'd sit and, you know, have some association with each other. Very nice, you know, very intimate, very personal. So he has also some dealings here in the Kalkara temple. As a young man, when he came here in India, he had made life members here. Some of the prominent life members were made by him. I remember Sitaram Daga, he was made a life member by Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He used to go out and do all these things. He used to collect. Prabhupada told him, the GDC have to collect more than everybody. You have to be the top collector too. You know, Prabhupada would push everyone. Nowadays, GBC, I'm the GBC, I'm not going to go out, you know. Nowadays, you know, the GBC, you know, I'm a manager, you know, I don't go out. But in those days, Prabhupada said, GBC has to collect more than everybody. So he would do it too. He would go out there and collect funds for the program. So later on he came back here and he initiated some of the devotees here. Ananga Mohan Prabhu and who was the other one? Bala Chaitanya, right? Abhishek, and then also the one who was in the car. Many, right? So many devotees. So like this. So he certainly has connection here with this temple. So, I'm very fortunate I could come here today to speak something about His glory. I was so fortunate I could have His association for maybe about 20 years. And about 1982 I joined Him. He left the world in 2002. My own feeling was that, you know, I had no direct instruction from Prabhupada. Although I was initiated first and second by Prabhupada, I had no direct instruction from Prabhupada. So I lamented when Prabhupada left, I never had the real chance to, you know, to get any real instruction from Prabhupada. So after Prabhupada left, I understood I should take shelter of somebody who was very dear to Prabhupada. And I thought that myself, that Tamal Krishna Goswami had the most intimate connection with Srila Prabhupada of any devotee. That Tamal Krishna Maharaj, that was one thing I saw in Tamal Krishna Maharaj, that he was always thinking of Prabhupada. He would say, what would Prabhupada have done in this situation? What would Prabhupada do? And then he would say, like, I remember he would say, after prasadam, that would always be a good time to go and see Prabhupada, he said. If you go after lunch, you know, Prabhupada's had a good lunch, that's a good time. If you have to ask Prabhupada for something, he said that would be a good time to go. You know, he was always, like, they always reminding us of Prabhupada. And I remember one time I said, he said to us, he couldn't sleep last night. I said, what happened? He said, I was so worried about this case. He was doing a court case in Bombay with one of Prabhupada's sons. There was some court case there. Prabhupada's son wanted some property or money or something. He said, I was so worried about the whole case, you know. You know? And he would always say he had a dream, different dreams about Prabhupada. You know, he's always having these Because he had so much connection, so close to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was his wife. You know, he was so dedicated to Prabhupada. So constantly be breathing Prabhupada, thinking of Prabhupada. So I was very fortunate that I could associate with him for so many years. And he guided me, gave me a lot of mercy. I took sannyas also by his mercy. And he told me I have to dedicate myself to the Chaitanya mission. Encouraged me to use my energy there in preaching in the Far East. So it was very unfortunate that he should leave us so suddenly, so untimely. His health had not been good. He'd been suffering from cancer, and he had some very big operation, very major operations, major surgery he'd undergone, and he was fighting to regain his health. And at that time, he met with the accident, and Krishna chose to take him out of this world. So we're very unfortunate. We lost that association. But we can be sure that he has gone on to serve Prabhupada in some other place. He had no other desire but to serve Prabhupada in his mission in Krishna consciousness. Okay? Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj ki? Srila Prabhupada ki? Any questions? It's a bit late. But if there's any question, Prabhu? Yes? Some more pastimes. Well, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was very, he could be very strict also. He, you know, could be, you had to be very careful in dealing and serving him. Just before he left this world, we did a ceremony. I had brought the ashes of one of his disciples. One of his disciples in China left the world, and I had brought his ashes to Mayapur, and I requested him to put the ashes in the Ganga. So I think 2 days before we left before he left Mayapur, we went to the Ganga and we put that devotee's ashes in the Ganges. And then after we did that, then we came back, and then he invited me along with other devotees to take prasadam in his room. Some of the devotees had been cooking there. You know, he used to have his own room there in the conch building, right? So a kitchen was there, and he would have devotees there cooking. And so I was noticing one devotee was serving prasadam. And just to let you know how careful you have to be. So the devotee was serving him, was his disciple, you see. So sometimes, you know, you're not sure, should I put something extra on his plate or not? So the devotee asked him, he said, Gurudev, would you like some more? So Gurudev looked at him and said, would your mother ask you if you wanted more, or would she just put it on your plate? Do you think your mother would ask you if you want more? Your mother would just come and she'd put it on your plate for you. Why are you asking me? just to let you know, you got to be very careful. He liked everything to be very good, very paka. And he, you know, the people generally, you know, I'm not a very paka person. But I was not too near to him. I was a bit distant, you know, because I'm not too paka. But the people near to him had to be very paka. You have to do everything really nice, first class. You know, and he did it, you know, when he, in Hong Kong, if you go to anything where he managed, like Dallas Temple, and you see the Dallas Temple, Kalachandri, everything, very first class. The restaurant, the temple, everything, all the arrangements, very first class. On the walls they have B.G. Sharma, big art painting, huge size. B.G. Sharma, original art. The temple is a palace. They call it Kalachandri's Palace. And it really is a palace, you know, really. You know, beautiful big art paintings, every wall, you know, and the big beautiful altars, everything. And the restaurant and the prasadam is really, really good, you know, vegetarian, all first class. And Hong Kong also, built a temple, only in an apartment on the sixth floor. The sixth floor of a 14-story building, because Hong Kong, just buildings everywhere. Very expensive still. But, you know, he got it designed very specially. We had, you know, the same devotee who designed Bombay Juhu Temple, Surabhi Prabhu, who designed Prabhupada Samadhi, he designed the Hong Kong Temple. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was behind it. He got him to design it. Special design, you know, just to make the maximum use of this space and to make it look bigger than it actually is. So like that, everything he did, you know, he liked to do everything very nice, do everything first class. And in that way, impress people about the Krishna consciousness movement. So Prabhupada appreciated that, you know, that we, you know, this is very important. And now you're seeing also Calcutta also become very first class, much better than all the time, improving. Of course, you know, we've still a long way to go. Outside is still a mess, you know. But still, it takes bit by bit, you know. So I'm sure Tamal Krishna Maharaj is very pleased with how you're preserving Prabhupada's mission and improving the surrounding. Tamal Krishna Maharaj generally, being a sannyasi, you know, he was more focused on preaching and he did not concern himself much with women and children. But he understood the future of our movement depends on children. One very interesting class which was given in Mayapur, I don't know if you had the opportunity to hear it, but it was given by Mother Urmila Mataji, who is a Prabhupada disciple and who is involved in schools in the Krishna consciousness movement. She's working in the school, and she's written a book also about teaching Krishna conscious children and things like that. So she gave Bhagavatam class one morning and she was explaining to us that in USA, a professor at Pennsylvania State University did a study on the history of religions. And he has shown that no religious movement in the world existed for more than 100 years unless the children take up the mission. He said there's no religious movement just went on for more than 100 years bringing new people, making converts. So Tamal Krishna Goswami also understood the importance of the children in the Krishna consciousness movement. And he took an interest, they established a school in Dallas, and he took an interest in the children there. He also saw a need that devotees have to get married, and he would organize weddings for many of his disciples to see them happily situated in grihastha life. Although he himself was a sannyasi and very fixed on renunciation, but he understood that renunciation is not going to be possible for everyone, and householders also have a very big role to play in the Krishna consciousness movement. So whereas earlier there had been a clash that the householders were saying, complaining in the ninth to Prabhupada that, you know, these sannyasis are taking all the brahmacharis and like this. Later on, Tamal Krishna Maharaj is more changed a little more, and he was more encouraging for people in the householder life, and that they should have children, because these children are our future devotees. That the future of our Krishna consciousness movement depends on the children of the devotees. Very important. So, you know, he was encouraging all these things. Okay. So, no other question? All right. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj ki. Gaur Premanande. Yeah.